Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. Focusandfind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business the News Hour. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is a first-time visitor to the NewsHour. His name is Greg Gilbaugh. He is a dentist. He is an author. He is a speaker. He is a leadership coach for business. How do you roll all that into one thing? And then we forgot to mention a faith-based aspect to everything he does. This promises to be an interesting conversation. And don't go away, because we've got some things to uncover here. Doctor, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful you're making time for us today.
Oh, love to have the opportunity, Michael. Thanks. I'm looking forward to this.
So, Greg, let's start out. I introduced you as a dentist. So you have an active practice right now, yes?
Yes. We have two practices. One's general practice in orthodontics, and then in the same business condo association, we 2 years ago we opened up a multi-doctor pediatric children's clinic. So I have the privilege and the opportunity to oversee both of those, and they're about 80 yards from each other, so I get a nice little walk when I go back and forth.
There you go. It's always good. And you are located in Iowa City, Iowa, correct?
Yeah, Coralville, to be more specific, but yeah.
Got it. All right, we're going to take a pretty deep dive, not into dentistry necessarily, but the other passions that you have. As we indicated, you're a speaker, an author, and you talk a lot about how faith and business intersect. And I want to go there right away because, you know, I think so many times we tend to, in the world of business, divorce ourselves from any type of morality or faith-based learning and opportunities. And sometimes we do that to our own peril. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I think that work or the marketplace business, that whole genre or paradigm, I think really gets shortchanged in our churches or when we start thinking about faith. And so many of us have this view that work is something that is intrinsically bad, that it's its own four-letter word, so to speak. But we fail to realize that work is something that was actually created by God for not only his honor and glory, but for our benefit, that there's a great deal of satisfaction. So often, I've done men's ministry and done the pastoral, being part of a pastoral team for about 20 years. And when I would work with men and try to develop curriculum, when I started talking about what does the scriptures have to say about work and business, it was like deers in the headlights. You know, I'd never heard anything like this before. Heard lots of stuff about, you know, marriage, a lot of stuff about being, you know, a good dad, a good parent, and all those things. But when they came to work, it was like I just thought work was bad. And it's like we go back to the scriptures, and in Genesis, we found look, you know, before God gave man a spouse, he gave him a job.
That's right.
Work was part of God's design before sin entered the world. And you know, the big three, marriage and parenting and work, were part of this three institutions that God gave man. But as I say, we tend to take some of our theological leanings towards the great theologian Meatloaf, who's saying, you know, two out of three ain't bad. And we just kind of put work, you know, on the back burner.
And it's divorced from all of these things. And you're absolutely right. If we look in the very first chapter of Bereshit, which is also Genesis, we learn that what does Hashem do? What does God do? He says, hey, look, you got a job, Adam. You're going to start naming these critters.
That's right.
And then further on, we see more and more of these directives to Moses, to Noah, to Moses.
Absolutely.
Noah, go build an ark. Moses, what you're going to do is you're going to build a tabernacle. Everybody has a job to do in the building of that tabernacle. And so the whole idea of faith and business and work really is scriptural, yes?
It's scriptural and it's highly integrated. You know, we hear of people going to like unreached, you know, people groups. And if you would, you know, I imagine it's like, come to an unreached people group, show them the scriptures and show them the first two chapters of Genesis where God's creating. And then he gives, you know, man something to do, and God's creating all this stuff all by himself. And whatever God gave man to do, to tend and keep the garden and with the animals and everything, God was always with him. And I would always imagine, say, let someone who has no concept of what the scriptures have to say and say, read these first two chapters of Genesis where it says, now let us make man in our image, and just say, what's the image of God that you see here? And I would almost guarantee they would say, well, he's a worker, because that's all I see him doing right now.
Right.
God is a worker. And as we see in the Psalms, it says God is still working to keep the creation going. So yeah, work is a fundamental divine attribute, a calling that God gives his people to embrace.
And once we come to that understanding, whether or not we are people of faith, and you know, there are many who would scoff at this entire idea, but if we look at that, then we can understand, perhaps, that work is a noble resource. You know, there are many psychological events that have happened when someone does not have a job or does not work. Their entire, well, their mental health issue tends to suffer.
Absolutely. A lot of studies show that, you know, especially in corporate and executive CEOs, so often that when they either lose their spouse or they quit their job, there is a very high death rate in the first 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's a good indication that man really benefits by being married and having something to do. To go out and to be aimless, purposeless is, yeah, as you said, Michael, very, very, you know, astutely, that that does something very poorly for our mental health. We feel like, what do? I don't belong. If my work makes no sense, then it's not a stretch for us to say, I make no sense. Mm-hmm. If my work has no value, then do I have any value? And my, you know, there's a lot of stuff written about theology and business and leadership. You can go to Amazon and click on, and just thousands of books will come up. But my desire is to integrate and connect those two, because when you can integrate someone who says, what's the most important aspect of your life? And for those who will say, well, it's my faith, and just say, well, what do you spend the most hours of the day actively doing? It's like, well, it's my work. What would happen if you integrate and intimately connect those into a synergistic whole? What's going to happen? Their faith is definitely going to deepen and get more robust, and their work is actually, their business is actually going to get better.
Our guest is Dr. Greg.
Absolutely, absolutely convinced of that.
Our guest is Dr. Greg Gilbaugh, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the intersection of business, jobs, work, and faith in this very interesting conversation. So when you're asked to go out there and do a leadership training, Greg, how does that work? I mean, how do you tiptoe into the faith aspect, or are you pretty bold and say, look, this is what and who I am. Let's talk about this first.
Usually it depends upon who I'm talking to. Yeah, certainly I'm not going to avoid the topic of faith. But here's, we talk about leadership principles and just say, all right, here are some things that that really work in the marketplace. Leadership principles. These are timeless principles, whether it would be You serve your people. You serve your client. Why is that? Because if you don't serve your people, they're not going to be engaged. They're going to look for another place. They're not appreciated. Right. If you don't serve your clients, customers, vendors, or whatever, and you actually take advantage of them, that's a recipe for losing. Okay. So you talk about some of these timeless principles, and then even the things like, do you have a vision for your business? Great leaders have a vision. And I say, you know what? These timeless principles, they start nodding their head. Yes, I need a vision. Yes, I need to serve my people. I need to make sure that I'm doing things that are right, fair, and just. And it's like, where do these principles come from?
And here we are.
The principles come from a person. A personal God, and you can know this God. And so you want to talk to me about that? Fine. For those who are of the faith, it says you understand this. But the thing is that the one who created and who empowers, the one who created these timeless principles that work, because this is the way things are supposed to work. And as a result, you do these things. The principles work whether you know where they come from or not. And if you want to do them, great. How would you like to go one step further, one step deeper, go from a two-dimensional to a three-dimensional understanding of work and just say, you want to take this to a depth that will just rock your world and change your business? It's not just a vision, it's a calling. It's not just serving, but it's servant leadership.
Yes, and how
that actually empowers people, transforms people, and all of a sudden you get a team that's like, this is what now I feel I was made for. This is a team I want to be part of. And you get all your members rowing in the same direction. I am absolutely convinced you can dominate any market, any place, any time, in any economic situation, and even against your competitors or even other businesses that are competing for dollars and things like that. You provide something that's stellar and exceptional because God does stellar and exceptional. You're going to make an impact.
Yeah.
You're going to make an impact somewhere. And what a way to live. Who does not want to live that way, Michael?
Right. Well, you know, there are folks that would disagree with most of everything that we're talking about. However, let's take this to a practical measure. One of the things that we have noticed over the past couple of years is a difficulty with regard to businesses hiring individuals and retaining those individuals. And it has been proven, study after study, that when that business has a mission that is definable and actually can be attributable to the goodness of people, individuals that are hired on that match that particular set of principles will not only stay longer, but excel at their job. And so one of the things that perhaps businesses should realize that there is an altruistic principle with regard to recruiting and retaining employees, especially when we get into millennials. Yes?
Absolutely. Millennials are really, they are looking for some sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. That's one of the characteristics of millennials. And on a very practical basis, you know, Michael, here's what I do. When I talk about leadership, I talk to a bunch of dentists at the American Dental Association national meeting last year in Vegas. And I was talking about how to build a better dental business, but this is actually applicable anywhere. We have our vision statement. It says, we are here to provide something that is exceptional to the patients and their families and to this community. We are here to create something good that hasn't happened yet today. So that's our mission, okay? And then we say, or that's our vision statement. And then we say, you know, the key word is exceptional and good. And then we have our mission. How do we accomplish this? Our six pillars. Calling, or as I put down, it's like, are you committed to serving with integrity and skill, bringing passion and giving honor? And it's like, and we write those out. These are our six core fundamentals. Now, when when we are hiring someone, we had someone that was doing an interview last night for a hygienist in our office. She actually took that sheet that has, this is what we're about. And we always say during these first interactions, look at their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if they look at this and they go, oh, that's good. Now, can we talk about pay and benefits? You know, zero. We're done. But when they look at that and they just cut, and you can tell they look and they just go, this is amazing. I've never been at a job that has like a mission statement or a vision statement. They say, this is what we do. So they go through interview one. When they come back in, let's say they're applying for the front desk. So they've met with the office manager. Now, round two, they're going to meet with the team leader, with the administration team. And the administration team leader would say, like, hey, Sally, nice to meet you. You know, we're going to go through round two here. Here's this sheet. Once again, same sheet. And they say, this is how we, as an administrative receptionist team, answering the phones and taking care of patients, this is how we accomplish these things. So it's driven through it. And when people say, you know, when they work here, where did you get this? Psalm 72.
That's right.
It's all found in Psalm 72, because it's what rocked my world. And I said, this is exactly what I want to characterize me in the business world, whether I'm fixing teeth, speaking, if I were to sell cars, if I were to, own a restaurant, these are still the qualities and the mission of why I'm in business.
Exactly.
And you get people, again, like you said, when they connect with it, it's like, I want to be here. I tell people, it's like, we want to provide like a type of care that people are longing for. And there are people out there in our industry that are longing to provide that kind of care, to be part of that type of an office, that type of a situation, that part of that kind of a culture. And we want to be that. We want to be the employer of choice. If there are people out there that are saying, I'm looking for something like that, that's me. So I belong on this team. And so those are the kind of people that we're looking for.
Sure. And while that works in your dental practice and your business, let's go a little bit further with this. And how do you get there? If I'm a business person out there and I'm listening to this conversation between you and I, and I'm going, you know, all this sounds really good. I mean, if we could have some kind of a vision statement, some kind of a mission statement that really does put our expectations on servant leadership. But, you know, I don't know how to do that. I'm not sure that I have the tools to be able to create something that's long-lasting. What do you do then, Doctor?
Oh, that is an absolutely great question, Michael, because I had a hard time coming up with one myself. And this is my plug for coaching.
Sure. Yeah.
Because this is what helped me do it. It's like, all right, Greg, what do you want to be about? Or if I were coaching someone, or Michael, like yourself, if you were a young guy come and say, I have no idea what to do, you give them a set of questions about like, well, you know, right, let's start with the end in mind. When you're done with this business, what do you want it to look like? I want you to describe it. Okay. You, the business, the people, those kind of things. Let's start working backwards. And you start saying like, all right, now in 5 years, we're working backwards. Tell me in absolutely vivid details. I want emotion. I want to know, what does this place look like, sound like? What is it, the patients, your customer, what do they feel like? What are the themes that are coming out? What do you see? Because this is your business. What were you made for? We ask questions like, mm-hmm. What are your leadership strengths? Not like, what are you weak at? Forget that. What do you want to do? And just sit down, and I'll tell people, take these, and I want you to go someplace quiet for a whole day. And I just want you to stop and just think. Yeah. If you're a person of faith, I want you to stop. I want you to think, and I want you to pray, say, God, what did you make me for? What are you calling me to do? If someone's not a person of faith, say, all right, sit in your own bubble and figure it out. Feel sorry for you. Or we can talk about it anyway. But it's like, what do you think are your strengths? What were you made for? What do you want to do? Many times people don't stop to think,
right. Yeah,
write something down. And that's the key thing. I was in a mastermind once, and this was about 5 years ago, where they said, 5-6 years ago, where they said, if you were in an elevator, the 22nd elevator pitch, someone comes in and they work in your industry and they say they're looking for a job. You got 20 seconds, no more than two sentences to say, why should someone come and work for you? And I know what my tendency is. I think, and I roll it around, and I roll it around, and I think, and I think, and I look at, and it's like, and eventually I come to a point, oh, I got to get back to work. I'll come back to this. Back burner again. But the guy said, you're going to share these with each other, and you got 5 minutes.
Right.
And so it's like, I've got to get something down. And I got something down, and I said it, and it was one sentence, and the feedback was that, Greg, that was a great, like, mission statement, but I've never heard as many ands and buts and ors and sos to connect these. You got about 10 sentences that are all connected together by these conjunctions. So, but it's like, I got something to work with. Narrow it down. And eventually, at the end of that day, I got it down to one sentence. I brought it back. We've worked on it. I've tweaked it. We can't let perfect get in the way of being practical. That's the thing. And just say, are you going to do this? Yes. Then how now does it integrate into everything? And that's where it's so good to have someone who just say, what are you going to do next? How are you going to integrate this? And then say, did you actually do what you committed to doing? No, something came up. Okay, what are you going to do now so that you don't get off track? It's just to have people stop, to spend some time and think and get something practical written down. It sounds easy to do, but in our busy world, we don't take the time to get it done and then to be committed to say, this is what we're about. Now let's start getting things in line with this. Yes. And sometimes that's difficult, but you just say, no, let's get it in line with, you're the business owner. What were you made to do and what do you want to do? That's why you got into business, because you wanted to do something. You wanted to have some kind of impact. What is it? And now bring that to the forefront and say, this is the, you know, it's more than just saying, hey, we got to get the right people on the bus and get them in the right seats. No one's asking, where's the bus going and how are we going to get there? That's you as the driver.
Yeah. And you're so correct, Doctor. You're so correct. We do spend a lot of time being busy. We don't spend enough time actually thinking. And final question for you. This has just gone amazingly well, and I want to thank you again for your time. But final question for you. If this works for business, you know, business, and you can become a better leader and you can become a better business by impacting your life and your altruism and your faith into your business, how much better might a marriage be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have 9 kids.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I wish I would have known some of these business, let's say, principles, because they would have benefited my family. I'll give you an example. We have 9 kids, and sometimes highly driven, highly competitive children. It's like, and I look at my wife and go, where did they get this? And she goes, you had to ask that, right?
Right.
I said, yeah, okay. Anyway, I would say about 6 years ago, I had a mission statement. I wrote it up for the family. And it's like, this family will be a place, I should say, this home will be a place of encouragement and building up for the missions that we either individually or a family are called to do. Mm-hmm. In that, the key thing, we as a family, this place will be a place where you come and you will be built up and encouraged to do what you are made to do. This will not be a place where we bicker and fight and cut down and things like that, as highly competitive relationships can do. But it's like, I wish we would have had that.
Yeah.
And it's been very, very beneficial.
Well,
remember, family, this is what we are about.
To bring that full circle, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That is a mission vision statement. It's like, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but you know what? This is what we're going to do. And it's very clear. It's very compelling. It's out. And people like, I want in on that.
Yeah.
I want in on that. I want a piece of that. Who wouldn't want to live that way? Exactly.
Thank you.
You nailed it, Michael. You nailed it right there.
You know,
thank you.
We keep trying, man. It's just one of those things. Dr. Greg Gilbaugh, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. We've been talking about the intersection of faith and business and family. And, we are going to have links to everything that Dr. Gilbaugh does up on the radio blog. So, I want to thank you for doing this. This is one of those topics we don't often talk about, but it is so important to the success of not only our personal but also our business life. So thank you, sir.
No, I thank you, Michael, because I think there's a lot of people out there, people of faith in the business world that feel like I'm really isolated and alone. So conversations like this are very, very encouraging to a lot of people. I think it's a silent, large group who say, wait, I'm not alone. There's people who get me, and I want to connect with them.
Correct. Thank you so much, Doctor. We appreciate the time that you spent with us, and good luck. And not luck. There's nothing necessarily about luck in any of this. This is all about commitment. So thank you, sir.
Good grace, my friend. Thank you.
Once again, that is the voice of Dr. Greg Gilbaugh, and we were talking about the interesting intersection between faith and business and family, something we thought you should hear in its entirety. And yes, we will have links to Dr. Gilbaugh's website on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Dr. Greg Gilbaugh, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.